Awesome. Well, it's good to be here with you this morning. I'm excited to turn into God's Word with you. If you have your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 11 there this morning. We're starting, continuing on with our series on fear, and as we jump into our fear for today, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, and my friend's name is Robert Milton. This is Robert here, and when I first met Robert in 2008, it was on a missions trip to Vancouver. I was taking a group of youth there with the church that I was at, and we were serving in Vancouver's downtown East End. And the place where I was assigned to go was a place called Oppenheimer Park. And so it'd be me and some youth, and at Oppenheimer Park is a place in Vancouver where much of the homeless population spends time, and there's things for them to do there in terms of like some games and activities. They've grown it a little bit. But when we went there, it was really just to go and to be with people. And now I must admit, when I first met Rob, Rob was not someone that I really anticipated being a friend. In fact, in many ways, I was a little bit apprehensive and actually somewhat fearful in what would happen and kind of what interactions would look like. I had no idea what to expect. I mean, Rob was someone that was very different than me. Rob was homeless. He's a different race than I was. He didn't look very well off. And it was pretty clear that that there was substance abuse that was happening in his life as well. And so all these things kind of caused for this fear in my mind. And Rob has become a friend. But at the moment and in that time, I wondered and was a little bit apprehensive of the other. And so similar to me, I think so many of us have a fear of things that are different than us. And not just things, but I really want us to focus on today, fear of the other or fear of the stranger, those that are different than we are. Why is it that we have that fear? I think it's because we fear what we don't understand. We fear those that aren't like us. We fear what might change us. We fear that potentially what we have will be threatened. This is known as a fear called xenophobia, a fear of the stranger or a fear of the other. For me, it was in this situation I felt it, and many others. But maybe for you, it's something like this. Maybe it looks like a fear of a person with a disability that you don't quite understand. Maybe it's a boss that could potentially fire you at any time. Maybe it's a child who's struggling with addiction. The person you come across that's always mumbling or talking to themselves. The new neighbor who just moved in across the street. A person with a different religious, political, or worldview. Someone who has a different sexual orientation than you. The student who potentially eats alone at school. A person of a different social status. Well, in our text today, we're going to see that there were two groups of people, the Jews and the Gentiles, and they had this fear of one another. And the Old and the New Testament speak to the fact that there was a clear distinction between these two people groups. And it goes back to when God made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, where God promises to make Abraham and his descendants a great nation. Now, God freely and graciously chose the Jewish people from all people in the world to be recipients of a covenant with him that would bestow unique blessing on Israel and would be the means through which all families then in the world would be blessed. If you were a Jew, you were part of God's chosen family. If you were a Gentile, simply put, you were on the outside. Jews and Gentiles detested each other. Both Jews and Gentiles thought that the best way to live would be at an advantageous distance from one another. Why so much fear of each other? Why are we fearful of those that are different from us? Well, from our text today, we will understand a little bit more about this fear of the other. and see that God calls us to be a community that's not driven by a fear of the other, but rather a love for our brother and sister. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to read Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promises of God, of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He who has made two groups one has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its command and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. When we talk about fear of the other, the first thing that we need to do is understand that we identify as the other. Paul begins by urging those who are Gentiles in the beginning of our text to remember that at one time they were strangers. They were aliens to the grace of God. And he does this because he wants us to understand that the other is in each of us. The word you, when he says therefore you, serves the purpose of highlighting a distinction between Gentiles and Jews. And the whole point was to remove it. Paul wants us to see that at one time we were all the same. We were all separated from God. Paul wants his readers to remember what life for them was like before Christ. And he lays it out like this. First, they were faithless, once separate from Christ. Secondly, they were homeless. They were separated from the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. Third, they were friendless. They were separate from Israel. They were excluded from the covenant of the promise of Israel. They were hopeless, hopeless without Christ. And fifth, they were godless. They were separated and completely alienated from God. This was their reality before Christ. Paul continues, though, and he gives us some really important words in "but now." He says in verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Though at one time you were far off, now the Gentiles have been brought near. God in his grace had saved them by the blood of Jesus, and now they had Christ. They had a purpose and an aim in life. They were now hopeful. They were welcomed into God's family. We could say God was unfolding a plan for the other. He was unfolding a plan for the outcast, for the stranger, for the forgotten to become members of his family. Now, the tendency, I think, here is for us to think that, well, I was never that far off. Sure, that describes kind of their situation or their state where they were at, but I have never actually been in that bad of a position. I was never that much in need of God's grace. But the reality is, no matter our journey, No matter our place or where we come from, at some point, we were all cut off from God. Paul did not write this for those that we deem to be far and separated from God, but he wrote it for all people to understand that at one time, we too were separated from God. At one time, we were the stranger who was far off from God. I am the other. You are the other. The first reason as to why I do not need to fear the other is because at one point, my identity too was the other. Julia Kristeva says, "We fear foreigners and strangers because they represent something within ourselves. We're too frightened to acknowledge and to confront it. When we recognize what the stranger represents within ourselves and come to terms with it, then we can dispense with our fear. Take my relationship with Rob, for example. My fear of being around Rob or maybe people like him was relieved when I accepted Rob as a person and not a project. When I actually began to get to know who Rob was and understand his situation, hear about who he was as a person, his family, his interests, his likes, his dislikes. All of this, as I began to get to know him, helped me to understand and realize that although we looked very different, although our stance in life was very different, although our position and what we had was very different, the reality was that we weren't actually all that different because we both needed relationship with Christ and we both needed his grace just the same. This is what Paul wants the Jews and Gentiles to know. That in Christ, there are no longer two groups, but that in Christ, they were unified as one. Verses 14 and 15 say this, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace." Christ himself is our peace. I don't need to fear the other because Christ is our peace. And in him, we are all brought together in the same family. All superficial distinctions, all walls, all differences fall away. There are no more distinct groups, but we are all brought together into one family. Now, for the Jewish people, this dividing wall of hostility, you need to understand, had even greater significance because there was a literal wall in the temple that separated the Jews from the Gentiles. And there was a sign that hung on that wall that read something along the lines of this: "Any Gentile entering beyond this wall will have only himself to blame for his ensuing death." The Jews felt that they needed to keep the Gentiles separate, that they had to be kept at a distance. For the Jews, the wall separated what they determined to be good and bad, clean from unclean, safe from unsafe. In a lot of ways, that wall for them protected what they felt they had. They were fearful of welcoming other people into it. So when Paul talks about this dividing wall of hostility coming down, he's referencing that very wall, but also the figurative walls that existed between Jews and Gentiles. Things like social and economic stance, spiritual practices, all these things and parameters that the Jewish people had put up that kept them separate from the Gentiles. Now, it's easy for us probably to scoff and shake our heads a little bit and think, wow, that's extreme. I can't believe that they would actually do such a thing, that they would cause such division and separation. But as I reflected and as I thought on it, I wondered, are we really all that different today? Like the Jews, I think that we really enjoy and prefer sameness. Our preference is to connect with people that look the same, act the same, have the same stance or place within life. As a church, we probably could say that we have clear boundaries that in some ways help us define who's in and who's out. We do that within our own personal lives as well. See, our human tendency, and this comes from Will Willimon, who wrote a book called The Fear of the Other. He writes this. He says, our human tendency is to flock to people who are like us, to tribalize. I sometimes wonder if the animosity some express towards those who offer a different is motivated by the fear that we may be influenced or become like those that are different. As such, our interactions are not characterized by humility, openness, interdependence, and hopeful invitation. Rather, they're characterized by fear and a retreat to what we know. Think about this a little bit more for us in our context, and if we are putting up distinctions and walls. When you come to church, who are the people that you visit with? Do you talk with people you don't know? Do you visit with people that are different than you? Or do you seek out the people that you're comfortable with, the people that in many ways reflect and look the same? When you look at your small group, your missional communities, the things that we're a part of here, our ministries, when you look at them, are they made up of others that are in the same place of life as you? Look the same as you? Have the same social status, economic status as you? Or are there differences? In the areas you serve, do you serve there because it's with people that you relate to, that share the same beliefs, that enjoy doing the same things? All these things act as walls that we put up that Christ as our peace came to take down. The walls could be racial, educational, spiritual beliefs, popularity, success, the job you work at, political, anything that's based around trying to keep what we have safe, to really help to define who's in and who's out. See, in some ways, our closeness of community, as good as it can be, and I believe many of us would say, I love this community. But our community makes hospitality difficult because we like what we have, and we don't want anyone to come in and mess it up. Who are we inviting into community, into our lives, into your homes? Are they different? Are they outsiders? Are they the stranger? Are we welcoming any strangers in at all? Or do our relationships and communities just reflect sameness? Some of my best experiences of community here within our church have been when there hasn't been that level of sameness. When my wife Jen and I joined the journey, it was with a group of people that were in all different walks of life, and it was beautiful. We had single people, young marrieds like us. We had people that had been married 20 plus years, people from all over. There was a lot of sameness, but there was also difference. And it was great. When I go and I serve in Guatemala with obviously people that are a different race and different economic stance than me, I love it. One of the favorite things that I've been part of with our youth ministry here, and I've said this to a lot of people, one of the highlights in the ministry here was when our seniors and our youth got together and just had a fun night with one another. We didn't look at the wall of age, but we came dressed as what we thought the other did and just played games and had food and ate, and it was fun. and it was breaking down those walls. And even in that, I still have such a long way to go because there's levels of sameness that still are in all of those things. But the work of Christ was to turn strangers into friends, to invite aliens and foreigners to the inside, from a place of exclusion to a place at the table at the house of God. And that process of reconciliation was a process where walls of separation, of division, of dissension were cracked and broken down, dismantled in and by Christ. Jesus Christ is our peace. In him, I don't need to fear the other because those walls come down. Verse 17 carries on to tell us that Christ came to preach the good news to those who were near and far, and so that we must do the same. Our response now is one of radical hospitality. Being welcomed into the family of God, we now share in the work of radical hospitality. This is our mandate. This is our call as followers of Christ. Romans chapter 15, verse 7 says, "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." God loved us when we were weak, when we were sinful. Now I must go and love those who are weak and sinful. And I know that if we're honest, we would probably say this, that it's hard to love those that are different than us. Those that are marked by different beliefs, different lifestyle choices, different backgrounds. But when we choose to love others, it will be inconvenient. It will be hard. But a good place to start is by thinking about their needs ahead of your own. That is what love is after all, to put others ahead of ourselves. Martin Luther helped to capture this idea well when he shared a sermon on the Good Samaritan. And he said this, he said, "I imagine the first question the priest and the Levite asked, the two who passed the wounded, the man who was almost beat to death on the side of the road. The priest and the Levite passed by and he said, I imagine their question would have been this, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But then the Good Samaritan comes along, the one who actually helps the man. And he flips the question and he says this, or so Martin Luther thought, his thinking probably would have been, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? Instead of asking the question, if I stop and welcome in the stranger, what will happen to me? We need to flip the script and ask, if I do not welcome the stranger in, that those who are different, what will happen to them? In my mind, that's a question that tears down walls, that builds bridges, that ends stigma, that can bring life. And this will challenge us as a community, personally and as a community. As we really reach towards radical hospitality and asking that question, I believe that it's going to cause us to have to redefine what it means to be the church today. If we really want to think of others ahead of ourselves, if we want to think of the other and welcome the stranger in, then we have to start redefining our parameters. We have to start not thinking so much who's in and who's out, but start to think beyond that. And it will push and it will challenge. But Scott Bader say, an author who wrote a book on welcoming the other, put it well when he said this was the same challenge that the Jewish church faced. And he says this, just as the inclusion of the Gentiles meant a radical rethinking of the identity of the church, so today hospitality to the excluded other will mean opening ourselves to the possibility of learning something new about what it means to follow God in Christ. To the extent that we are unwilling to do this, to the extent that we welcome others only insofar as they already reflect who we are, We have not yet begun to embody hospitality. Rethinking of what makes us, us, allows for a fuzzy border when it comes to belonging to the group, and it renders obsolete any simple in and out distinctions. This will allow for the stranger to become friend. Are we willing? Are we willing to risk enough and to ask that question and to redefine kind of what we are, who we are as the church, so that it's not so much about just welcoming people in who reflect already who we are, but so that we are actively pursuing and engaging the stranger, the other. Instead of us just giving money to the homeless, what if we actually invited the homeless into our home? Instead of getting into heated arguments on Facebook over all of these controversial subjects, what if we were just humble and loved the people? What if we welcome more refugees into Cochrane? Instead of asking what might this do to our community or who knows who they are, what if we just openly embraced people coming from other countries? What if our students, instead of fighting against GCA clubs in their schools, actually built friendships with those students who are there and part of them and just showed them love? What if Easter dinner looked a little different in your home this year? It wasn't just family around the table, but it was someone who you didn't know. What if we all made the point at the end of this service by simply introducing yourself to someone that you don't know? There's a lot of fear in the other. It's hard to reach out to the other. None of it means, though, if we're going to engage in radical hospitality, that we need to lay aside who we are or what our beliefs are. We can't compromise who we are at the core, but at our core, are we not first called to love others as we love ourselves, to love others and to welcome in the stranger? I don't know who the stranger is in your life today that you might fear and why. But God calls us to welcome them, to love them through radical hospitality. And here is the reason why we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear the other, because remember, at one point too, you were the other. I was the other. God welcomed us into his family. God is our peace. He's breaking down walls of division. In him, none of those distinctions exist. They all fall away, because in him, he is seeking to build one new family without distinctions. So fear not. And might we be a church who goes out and extends radical hospitality to our town and to our world. I'm going to invite our worship team to come as we prepare to respond. And as they do, ask that we just take a time to pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have welcomed us into your family. God, at one time, I was far off. I was separated from your family, from your love, from your hope, from purpose in this life. But you looked down and you sent your son and you said, I want to create a way for them to be brought into my family. You said, no, but now there is grace that is sufficient for you. You are welcome. If you are here today and you have not been welcomed into that family, if you are far off, know that God's grace is sufficient for you. That there is no distinction about who is in and who is out, because at one time we were all the other. But I believe God's saying to you now, if you are the other, come. Come. You are welcome. It's just a simple declaration of saying, God, I want to be welcomed into your family. I don't want to be far off, but I want to be brought in. I want hope. I want life. I want to know who you are. Be willing to cling and to accept that here today. And God, now that we know that we were far off, but we have been welcomed in, God, I pray that we would not live in fear of the stranger. We would not live in fear of those that we don't know or understand. God, that we would know that in you there is peace, that there is no distinction, that we are one family. God, would that give us confidence to extend love and radical hospitality to those who so desperately need it? Oh God, I pray that this community would be marked by one that is diverse, that is welcoming, that is full of aliens and strangers and all of us just broken people, but that have been brought together here in your family. God, would here, just even in our context in Concord, would this start to be a picture of your family, of you establishing your kingdom here on earth? Oh God, help us just be willing to redefine, to go to the places where you're sending us, and to love unconditionally, to not fear, but to love the other as our brother and as our sister.